You need to make some
Ladies
jigsaw.
and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, happy Easter, everybody. It's Easter weekend, and we're here again. I know you missed us, so we're back. And Ed brought his pencil, and he needs something to write on. Man. So, anyways, we're going to start with, big things. Bradley just came from a baseball tournament, rushed here, trying to get home, get stuff done. Get situated, have a day to relax tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
Before we get going with stuff, we got membership stuff. We added some new stuff to the store. Not only do we have t-shirts, but we have accessories, backpacks. People been asking for baseball hats. We got baseball hats. You can get it all through the YouTube link in the community section. We'll try to get some stuff to pop up on the podcast. Get this stuff going, get this stuff rolling, big stuff. Eduardo, you
Oh.
know what time it is. What time is it,
Time it is. That's my
Ed?
top, because the cream always rises to the top. How about that? All right.
If you
So,
say so.
hey, come on, man. Come on, man. Why are you turning me today?
Come
What did I
on,
do?
you're
Who
supposed
kissed
to
me
be you're supposed to
this
be
morning?
the comedy relief on this show.
Hey, you be nice. I know that goes against your religion, but come on.
It is
All
Easter. It
right.
is.
This email brought to you by GoonGuard.com. GoonGuard.com. Check us out. Use the promo code 1973. Better, they heat up in 10 seconds. You can wear them around, talk. You can have them logoed and all that other good stuff. Check them out. GoonGuard.com. This one, the email comes from JJ from Dartmouth. So JJ brings up the con. I'm not reading it verbatim because I don't have my notes because I'm still on the road. Anyway, so JJ says, you guys talked about being comic guys. And he goes, what's your favorite superhero movie?
Oh.
So I'm going to talk to you guys first.
Oh, that's a tough one. That is tough. I mean, you can hit that from so many different angles. Is this like when we got the what is the greatest sports movie of all time? So were you talking our personal favorite or what we think the greatest one is of all time? So I believe the email is from somebody local to our area, Ed. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. So it's good to hear people that are local supporting the podcast, sending stuff in. When I pulled this email, I thought, geez, this is kind of different. We've never really dove into a lot of movie talk, and we haven't really dove into, I think the only time we brought it up was Brad had mentioned it one time when he first came on that about the comic book stuff. So my favorite comic book movie, superhero related of all time. I've been thinking about this one for a while, and I cannot give you a definitive answer. I think I'm gonna go for low hanging fruit and go the Avengers Endgame, the last one where they tied everything in. I thought it was the most epic Lord of the Rings style tie-in movie for everything. You got appearances from everybody in that one. I know it's tough. I thought Spider-Man, the third one, No Way Home, the last one, that was really good. Where they had the multiverse Spider-Man show up. Very, very tough.
I haven't heard it yet. I haven't watched it yet. La 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 la.
Very good though, Tom. You gotta watch it. I thought Batman Begins was really good. The first one with Christian Bale, I thought that was really good. I would have to say Endgame, the very last one of the Avengers movies. That's probably the pick. I could rattle on about this forever, but the 1966 Batman movie, not my favorite, but I always thought that one was near and dear to a kid's heart. But who wants to take it?
Brad?
Oh, I've been queuing this up, fellas. I have my own Infinity Gauntlet. It lights up. I have my own. This one is near and dear to my heart because I got it at the Disney store before they went out of business. Howard the Duck.
Oh, Howard the
For all
Duck.
you nerds
Well,
out there,
yeah.
you
You were
probably
alive for
know who
that?
Howard the Duck is. Howard the Duck was one of the very first comic book movies, by the way.
that was ever made way back in the day.
Yeah,
were you even alive when they made that?
Yes, I was. I was a young boy.
Leah Thompson was in that.
Yeah. Super over the top 80s, you know, weird movie, but incredible. I love the Infinity War movies. They were not comic book accurate, but there were a lot of comic book similarities. So it was done very, very well. It was also the peak of the Marvel cinematic universe. Of course, everything's been downhill since. I love the Loki series, season one of Loki, absolute banger of a TV show, especially with the little Easter eggs there throughout the whole episode. If y'all are very savvy with your comic book knowledge, the very last episode featured a Thanos helicopter, which I have the Hot Wheels version of. Thank you very much. Loved it. I think to date, the Spider-Man movies have been done very well. I enjoy all of them. They're incredibly, well done. But if I had to pick like an all-time favorite, like right now out that is out, and if I love the Blade trilogy, let's be honest, that shit was fucking amazing with Wesley Snipes. But the What If TV series on Disney Plus, it's not for the Marvel casuals. If you're a casual fan that's in it for the wokeness and the agenda and the female He-Man hating stuff bullshit, you're not going to like What If. The What If series takes you on a roller coaster ride. It is incredible. They tie all the episodes together, and it's not that usual, campy Marvel stuff. It's really well done. If you haven't watched What If, go watch it. The Marvel Zombies episode is epic. And they do a really good job of tying it all together.
So
that's my favorite.
Thomas, we'll kick it to you.
Well, I'll be different because I think my favorite is the Avengers Infinity War and the, I'll even say Endgame because it was kind of two-parter. But I'll be different. I'm going to go with the 2011 Captain America, the First Avenger, because I like how they gave his origin story. And I wasn't really huge into comic books, so I really didn't know a lot about the character. But I really like that one.
Ed?
I'm going to go with two, actually, because, I mean, I just can't, I can't just have one. I'm going to have to go with, I have to say, probably the original Wolverine. I have to say, I really dig that one quite a bit. Thought that was really, really good. And I really have to say, it's not, I have to say, because it's probably more of an origin story than anything else, but I really enjoyed Joker. I really thought that that was just so well done, so well written. Just, I mean, the whole time, just sitting there watching it, and it was just like, I watched it on Halloween, and it was, years ago, and I was like, man, they just did a really, really good job on it. So those are my two right there. Because I just like I love Wolverine character, and I think Hugh Jackman did a really good job in that movie, and all through the trilogy,
Before we move on from this, I know that my buddy Brad will love this question, and I hope that they're wrong with doing this, and I hope that they don't screw this up. So I love the Fantastic Four. I always thought that was one of the comedy driven superhero groups. They're the very first superhero group in Marvel. They're going to try it again. I heard that one of my favorite characters in the Marvel universe is going to be a female character, the Silver Surfer, which they never ever had a female Silver Surfer in any of the multiverses. I think they're going to ruin it if they do that. It is going to be backlash. Bradford, can't weigh in while I grab something.
Man, look, I also forgot to mention the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy. Guardians 1 was expected to fail. They kind of quietly, slowly released it. Turned out to be a mega hit. It was the Star Wars movie we never got. Second one was kind of a dud. The third one was absolutely incredible. If you haven't seen the Guardians movie, all three of those standalone films, whether you like Marvel movies or not, those three movies are bangers. The Fantastic Four is interesting because different studios have owned the rights to it over the years, dating all the way back to like the 80s or some shit. And they were kind of in the same boat as Captain America and whatnot. And just to keep the rights to the movie, the studio just put out some hot garbage. And that's just that's just the way it's been with Fantastic Four. It's never got a fair shot. And I was hoping with Disney they would give this movie a fair break. They had Reed Richards with the dude from The Office in the last Doctor Strange movie, and then they went and recast him as somebody else.
Yep.
And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And everybody went nuts. Everybody's pissed off about it. And now I haven't heard that Silver Surfer thing, Andy, but that I'm not happy about that.
Yep.
I don't see any angle where they make that work.
Yep.
And that kind of it makes sense because Marvel is in the process of making every major superhero a woman. Every major superhero, Thor made a woman.
I gotta defend
Iron
that.
Man, they made a woman. They're making them all women.
Okay, so let me defend the Jane Foster thing being Thor, because if you are a fan of comic books, like my buddy Thomas knows that I am since we were kids,
yep.
I am What If number 10 that I own, that I bought off the shelf when I was a kid, when What If was a throwaway comic. I was a huge What If fan as a kid. Still have all my stuff, holding on to it. But the Jane Foster becoming Thor and is in a actual What If original run of comics. So that I'll give them a little bit of creative freedom on that one. But I grabbed two things off the wall while we're talking about comics, just to show my friend Brad. Here's my Avengers number one.
Holy
right
crap,
here, off the wall.
Holy crap.
And I've had this for quite a long time when it wasn't worth nothing. And just because of argument's sake, just to show Brad, here is my, where is it? My X-Men 94. First appearance of the new team with Wolverine and everything like that. So I just want to grab them off the wall and show off for a minute. Showing that I am legit.
I got some good stuff, man.
Yeah, there's next to the, did you have those next to the Elvis tape back in the day?
No. This is stuff for the man cave room for the kids to inherit. I am an old school comic book collector. Before anybody bagged and board stuff, where I had a pile in my room like this, and I would just read them for reference and keep the mind sharp on different stories. And if somebody was debating something, you'd run home and grab an issue and be like, that's BS. Look, here it is. And so I could talk comics for a while. I could do a really deep dive. So I'm glad I grabbed this email. I'm glad somebody wrote in. We could talk about something a little different than we haven't had a chance to. So
yep.
Very cool email. Thanks for writing
Thanks
that
for the
in.
Email, JJ.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate that. Hopefully, maybe we can talk more about that stuff as maybe some of the movies or stuff comes out. I'd love to talk more about that stuff too. So,
oh, absolutely.
Where do we leave off with the wrestling talk? Going into 1 week away, big thing happened this week. It kind of went a little bit blown up on social media, if you'll say. The Rock dropping an F-bomb on TV.
Live TV!
Right? So, my big thing goes to show you how you can draw people in to a big angle when you get the blade out and do a little bit of slicing and dicing just for storytelling. I don't know if Ed had a chance to see Cody busted open by The Rock.
I did not.
Very, very well worth watching the end of Raw. And I'm hoping that they're setting the groundwork towards not everything, but the big angles when they're going on Netflix next month. If you have Netflix, is it next month or next year? When are they going on?
I'm not even sure, to be honest. I know there's a couple month period where they're actually they're going to probably reach a deal with the USA Network to air it for like a couple weeks extra, because they're not going. I think it's next year. I think it's like September or October is when they're going, and there's like a 2 week or 3 week period where they're like, I won't say free agent, but they don't have any TV network right now. But I think they said they're probably reaching a deal with USA.
Okay. So let's get back to the angle. We got the blood. Thoughts, Thomas?
I loved it. And one thing I got to say is I hope, I mean, it seems like they're going away, like as we talked last week, going away from the PG-13 and, or the PG and going more PG-13 and have, but I just hope they don't have too much blood where you have guys in the first match bleed in. And I mean, just have, make it mean something. Don't have anyone bleed, because then it takes away from angles later on in the show. Or so I really loved it. And I like how The Rock continued it, where he, like, they posted stuff on their Twitter accounts where after the show, where he kept whipping them with the belt. And I really like that. I like how they've changed everything. You could see how the UFC has, the group from the UFC has taken over, because they've changed their camera angles. They're doing the old UFC thing where they're showing the people showing up to the arenas. Like, UFC was famous for that, where they wouldn't show everyone, but they show like the main eventers arriving at the arena. And that's what the WWE is starting to do now. So I kind of like some of the new stuff they're doing.
So, Ed, just,
I mean,
just,
I haven't seen it, but the thing about it is that it's touched on Tom's point. You brought it up too, Brad. I know you're going to jump in here too. This all goes back to what we've all been talking about. Use it for good storytelling, the ending of the build for pay-per-view. Just, Tom, exactly what you just said. It doesn't need to be shown every single match, because it loses something. And that's really wonderful to see. So I'm definitely going to take a gander at it and take a look at it. I'm just happy that they're using it the correct way. And that makes me happy, because that makes great storytelling.
Before Brad weighs in, I just want to give I'm going to throw this out there. And if it happens, it'll warm the wrestling fans' heart, especially me, old school wrestling fan, and especially Big Dusty fan. Everybody's going to tell you they're a Big Dusty fan, but I'm going to tell you, I was a Big Dusty fan. How cool would it be when you see like the montage of people winning the WWF title? You never see anybody all NWA style with the bloody face. How cool would it be if Cody ends up finishing the story and he's all busted open and he's holding that belt for that picture that's going to stay in the WWE universe for years to come? There has not been a guy that I can remember, other than when Flair won and he said that time during "this is the greatest day of my life" and the whole thing. There hasn't been a guy all gigged up that stands there with the belt and with the, you know, finishing the story, the period at the end of the sentence, no pun intended. And, you know, just for all the, you know, for all the years to come. So, Bradford, what are your thoughts?
That was the most electrifying episode of Monday Night Raw I have seen in years. That felt like old school Attitude Era wrestling. Like, the PG era is dead. They made jokes about it on that episode. They made PG jokes. Cody Rhodes made a comment about The Rock and Roman Reigns wanking off in the parking lot. Like, and they've been sneaking blood in for the last couple of months since the new year. They've been peppering it in there. The dialogue since The Rock came back is getting more and more aggressive. You know, and The Rock came back and said, "Wrestling needed me. I saved y'all. We all got like butt hurt. Like, we didn't need you to save us, because WrestleMania was supposed to already be set." But, you know, The Rock legitimately has the star power. And I wouldn't be surprised if every time they cuss or they show blood and USA finds them or whoever finds them, that The Rock's just paying that shit out of pocket. Like, wrestling did need The Rock. He has the power to break them out of the shell and take it to the next level. And I was speechless at the end of that episode. Like, it was legit the best episode of Monday Night Raw I've seen in a long time. It was incredible.
If you are Endeavor and you do own both entities, the UFC and the WWE, and like, you go back to that presentation of, yes, we know it's a work, but present it like a sport. Present it like two guys that have a conflict, two guys that are trying to get somewhere to win a title, that whatever is your main goal, it should be they're all in it to win that championship. That should be the starting point for your storytelling. And they're all trying to, either you're trying to cut somebody's throat to get there, or you're trying to do things the right way. And there's your heroes and there's your villains. And then you go from there, and it's the quest of who's climbing the ladder and how they're doing it to get there. You don't have to make it like a soap opera, but you do make it like a soap opera with good, with the storytelling, and take you on that ride. Okay, somebody might like Austin Theory. Other people might not like him. You might like Randy Orton. Other people might. So you have your guy, just like when you watch UFC, you have your guy, or you watch pro sports, you have your team. It's the same thing. And I don't think they can grasp how easy it is to write that kind of story. Not every guy is going to be, you know, Roman Reigns, but the guys that are, you know, not every team in the league is epic. There are teams that are known for being stiffs. So that's should just write itself, but call me crazy, but it, is it that easy, or am I, you know, writing some big diatribe that nobody else can understand? Go ahead, Brad.
There's a lot of chatter going on right now that there is an ex-WWE superstar rumored to show up at Mania to help Cody Rhodes finish his story.
I know who it is.
And me too.
Who is it?
Nope. It's going to be the brother.
That's what a lot of folks are leaning towards. And if Tony Khan is as savvy of a businessman as he is, contract or not, he'll allow him one night at WrestleMania. Because if Dustin Rhodes shows up at Mania, bro, that is epic free advertising for AEW.
I know, but it would be incredible. It's almost better when you keep the stuff a secret. If you can keep that a secret, just like you keep the MJF stuff a secret, it's so much better because the pop is so much better. Him. Have them in the crowd, not the whole night. That way people are pointing, there he is, there he is. That last match, you kind of let him kind of bleed out with a hoodie on or whatever and just watch. And then when he comes to help, the mother could be there, Cody's mother, Cody's sister, she's involved. They just dropped that turnbuckle wrestling came back, the one that Dusty started in Florida. Yep. And she's the commissioner of it because the Rhodes family owns it. Now the Nightmare Factory is there. It's their school that feeds that talent there. So there could be a lot of things factored in. And this WrestleMania could be worth watching. I heard Stone Cold's coming back. I heard Hulk Hogan's coming back. So why wouldn't you want to watch it? If you have Peacock, throw it on. I mean, come on now. You're going to watch one wrestling thing a year, that's the one you watch. It's just like if you're going to watch one football game a year, what do you watch? The Super Bowl, right?
No way. The Pro Bowl.
Week one of preseason, Andy. That's what we watch.
Yeah, come on. Come on now. You can't take you guys seriously. Here I am trying to run a legit business, and you guys are bringing me down. Let's fade now.
The UFL's back. That's what we're watching.
So, any more stuff you want to touch on about Mania before, or do you just want to wait and watch and see what happens, or do you want to add any insights to it? And I know you're all over watching it next week.
I have a freaking wedding to go to on the 6th, so I'm kind of irritated about that.
Oh, you'll have to watch it on your phone.
Yeah.
No spoiler alerts.
No spoilers. Yeah. No spoilers. So Ed, you want to touch on anything on WrestleMania before we bounce?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Sounds good. So speaking of wrestling, last week we forgot to watch put our input in on episode Terry Gordy on Dark Side of the Ring and Bruce Beefcake. So did everybody really get caught up on that?
Yep.
All right. So let's start with the Terry Gordy.
Yes, boss.
What do you think of the way they portrayed the Terry Gordy story, Thomas, being a big Freebirds fan?
Whew. Boy, I feel bad for him because he was on some pretty heavy shit, I guess, from what I'm watching that. But I mean, there were some stories that were crazy. I mean, the story with how Dr. Death had to slap him hard enough to wake him up when he had passed out because he was afraid he'd swallow his tongue. I mean, that's some crazy stuff right there. And then there was stuff I had forgotten about. I forgot that he was the executioner for like 2 weeks or whatever it was in the WWE. And it was sad that, it was interesting that The Undertaker was the one that actually went and told Vince, you know, maybe this is, don't do him like this. I mean, he had too good of a career to have, for him to go out like this. And he was in such bad shape at that point. And then the sad thing was when he passed away. I mean, it, like, what was it like the day before he passed away, he had called his son and asked him to be his tag team partner. And I forgot what it was, if his son didn't answer the phone or he said no. And then the next day his dad had passed away. So it was a very sad thing because you can see he had a lot of problems, but I was always a Freebird fan. I think they should have gotten a little bit more into the Freebird stuff, to be honest with you, but it was a good one. I really like this one. They've really kind of knocked it out of the park the last couple of weeks.
Ed, what thoughts on the Terry Gordy?
Well, first and foremost, it was sad that he went so early, first and foremost. And I said, and part of it, I'm going to agree with Tom. I think they really do a big disservice about not layering in more of the stories on how big the Freebirds were, because I remember watching the Freebirds come in and watching, World Class Championship Wrestling from Texas with the red ring apron and feuding with the Von Erichs. I mean, that was huge. I mean, that was like, man, it felt real. Andy, you and I talked about this back in the seventh grade, man. We knew this stuff was fake, but man, just the way that they story told it was just so much better. And like these guys were kind of like characters that were just totally like outrageous, but so believable, you know, for that. Cause we all, except for Brad, we all grew up in the 70s, you know, we're all 70s kids, except for Brad, cause he's a young one at the table, you know.
Yeah, I'm the young one.
Yeah, but I thought it was good though. I mean, it was sad that he passed away so early, you know.
Brad, want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I mean, I was really looking forward to like getting more, like Ed said, like the layers of the Freebirds, because like I didn't grow up in that era, so I was looking forward to like getting more of that and learning like that history of it. But I also feel like with Dark Side of the Ring, they could probably make one episode and just, you know, every 5 minutes change to the wrestler that had injuries, drug addiction, painkiller addiction, and died an early death. You know, it's sad, man. But the hard truth is a large majority of this career field suffers from those afflictions.
Yeah, you know? I think that it's so much back then was so accessible because those guys were so especially in the territory times, I think they were so beloved in different, like you watch a lot of shoot interviews, like when the internet first broke, the big thing for guys like myself that were wrestling historians and purists, we wanted to hear all the stories that you never got to hear when it was kayfabe. So when the curtain opened up and they were recording these shoot interviews with certain guys, I was all into listening to these stories about stuff that you never heard of about before, how these guys, when they were in a territory, they would get pulled over by cops all the time because they're racing from one town to another. And the cops would see the same guys on the same nights at the same spots flying by. And they were like, well, they're not pulling over Ivan Koloff. They know who he is. They know where he's going. He's going to the next town. So they wouldn't even pull him over because they had mini celebrity status. But the things that were very accessible to them were the party side of it and the alcohol. And it's easy to fall into those traps because it was like a fraternity. If you didn't go out, you weren't part of the group. And in order to make money back then, you had to be part of, you know, the crew and things like that. It wasn't, you know, about going back to your room and doing the right thing and ordering room service and sitting there and keeping to yourself. No, you had to be out there and
politics.
Being a little bit.
What the 80s was about anyway. Yeah, I mean, think about Studio 54. I mean, think about it. Studio 54, they had a moon with a gigantic cocaine spoon that came down with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, man. Yeah. Watch Wolf of Wall Street. It's the same thing.
Right. Right. So, I mean, I think a lot of those guys were younger guys with, no financial education on what to do with their money, and they went out and spent it, and if they made $50, they spent $75. So yeah, it's just crazy. So let's move on from Terry Gordy and talk about Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Hulk Hogan's little brother, Dizzy Bollé. Thomas, thoughts on Dizzy Boulder?
I thought it was pretty good, but I mean, the thing that I was looking forward to, and it's kind of gross. It's like, but to see you, I'd always heard about the accident, the parasailing accident, but to have the doctor on there to show the x-rays, man, he's lucky to be alive. And the story that they told was Sherry Martel walking into the room and screaming because she didn't expect to see what she saw had me. I mean, I hate to say it, but I was laughing as I was watching it because I can just picture her with that like maniacal like scream that she uses when she was with Macho Man. I mean, it's just, but I mean, it was interesting. And I liked how they added a few different people, the older wrestlers, like they had Missy Hyatt on there this week. And even though I'm not a big fan, but they had Greg Valentine on there, Mr. Personality on there. And but I like having different perspectives and not having the same guys on there every week.
Yeah, the thing that, not that before I get to Bradford and Edwin, the thing I thought was funny on there was when they, I don't know if you caught it, they said that, I think it was Missy Hyatt that said it, that Brutus Beefcake was only around because he was the guy that carried Hulk Hogan's gimmicks.
Yep.
And so Hogan would never get busted with it. It would always be him if something happened. So I thought that was pretty coy how they left it in. And if you blink, you missed it. But according to Hogan, he didn't do any drugs whatsoever. So Brad and Ed, weigh in on the Baba.
I really liked the episode a lot. I really did. I thought it was great. You know, just to hear some of the stories from back in the day. You know, Tom, you don't like Greg the Hammer Valentine, man? I mean, he really was great in the ring.
Tell a story.
Only guy I have on a belt that could be worth some money. I have a championship belt that I have guy sign, and he signed it upside down. And then to top it off, I give him the money, and he says, "Oh, sorry, I don't have any change." And doesn't give me any change back for what it cost me to get him to do it.
Oh, man. all the hate, man. All the hate. But I totally have forgotten about the accident. And to hear how vicious of an accident that it was, I don't remember any part of that. But, man, to hear what they did, like peeling his skull back and fixing his eyes and everything like that, I mean, that was a pretty big deal.
Bradford?
Yeah, that accident was gross. Like, I don't even want to think about it. But does this make me weird that, like, Brutus the Barber Beefcake was one of my favorites when I was a kid?
No.
When you were a kid, he was the booty man.
I have the original, like, Gen 1 WWF action figures of Brutus. I have two of Hulk Hogan, and then one Ultimate Warrior. Like, Brutus was, like, my guy. It is hard for me watching these Dark Side of the Rings and seeing these like childhood heroes just discombobulated, man. Like they do not look well. And even when they showed Greg the Hammer Valentine, I was like, oh shit. Time did not do you guys any favors, man.
Most of these guys do not age well.
No.
That's what happens when you get your face rubbed in a canvas for almost your whole adult life.
Yeah. Well, man, I want to make a friendly suggestion. Maybe some water instead of pills and alcohol.
Stay hydrated, my friends.
Yeah.
Stay oil on that face.
Yeah. Jeez Louise. I mean,
get a good night of sleep. No more cocaine benders.
Yeah. It's like some of these guys got their face put out with an axe when it was lit on fire.
Yeah. Great episode, though. I'm glad they got back on track.
The funny thing for us local Massachusetts guys was, did you catch the story about how he met his wife?
Yes.
Yeah, she snuck backstage at the Boston Garden in like 1988. They didn't say how old she was at that time. Then when they reconnected, she was living in Quincy and he was living in Massachusetts. So what time, when was this that he lived in Massachusetts? Nobody knew that?
No. He used to walk around the North End back in the 90s.
Oh, okay. What about
the story where he worked for the mass transit? The powder fell out that Greg Valentine made me laugh when he said it was cocaine.
So, yeah, it's great to look at it from a voyeuristic standpoint where you're a wrestling fan and you're getting all these stories. But, man, some of them, it's like it's tough to watch. The one that I'm really waiting for is like the Sherry one. The Holly Race one should be really good.
That's next week.
Oh, Talk about what a tough son of a bitch that guy is.
That's gonna grow some hair on your chest just watching it.
Yeah. According to a lot of those shoot interviews, when they say talk about toughest guys all time, like if the guy's gotten legit fights to, you know, defend, like, hey, you're not tough, you're a wrestler, it's all phony. He was in the top five.
He's the guy who used to pop eyeballs out on a.
Oh yeah, the old fish hook. Get behind the eye and pop it out for a few minutes. Yeah. How about when they were talking about when Hogan was walking Beefcake down the hallway and his eyeball popped out in on the dark side?
Yep.
So stay tuned. We'll talk about that some more. We forgot last week. I hate these guys and they don't keep me on track with some of the stuff. But speaking of being on track, it's time to talk some Tom Shitty Picks. Thomas.
Alrighty.
You are on deck.
Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brockton Street South in Whippy, Ontario. The brewery is home to a banquet hall, an on-site restaurant, and a members-only lounge. Everything they brew is done in-house, including their sours, lagers, and their vodka soda. They have something for everyone, so if you're in Whippy, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. All right, my shitty picks for last week. I did my final four picks, and actually, I'm got two out of four left, but it's the two I picked in the championship game. So hopefully, it's not too bad. If UConn wins it, I'll take it. I'd say that's a pretty good pick. But my pick this week, I'm going to go with baseball, seeing that baseball started. And I am going to go with kind of a gimme. I mean, it's early in the year, but I'm going to go with Ronald Acuna Jr. He's got five games this week coming up, three against the White Sox in Chicago, and then he's got only a two-game series against Arizona, and he's not facing either of Arizona's like top pitchers. So I think he's going to have a big week this week.
So let's stay with the baseball talk. Thoughts on this opening day this past week? Just real quick thoughts on where the baseball season stands before the rest of the 389 games that they got to play this season.
Brad?
It's not that many games. It's a lot of games, but it's not 389. Look, I'm happy. The Rangers debuted their banner. I got my gold emblazoned World Series stitched up hat. It's got gold on the inside. I got my gold t-shirt in the closet somewhere. Lucas got a matching hat. I am beyond excited. I don't know if we're going to repeat. We lost Jordan Montgomery to the D-backs, but the Braves look incredible. The Rangers are looking damn good right now. The Dodgers look like they're the team to beat. Baseball's back. I mean, what can I say, man? I hate basketball. Sorry, Scotty, too hotty. You know, I know you sponsor us, buddy. Not a fan of the Final Four. I just don't get into it. I'm sorry. Barely watch the NBA. Baseball's back. I'm excited. Let's fucking go. Texas Rangers, baby.
Ed, want to add to that?
Well, I will say that, you know, it's baseball season. I mean, and it is a long season. I don't know, for anybody that is a baseball fan, man, the first half of the year before the All-Star break, man, it is like watching paint dry. It is pretty boring. You know, now, I mean, and I certainly, after the All-Star break, I certainly turn it on and, you know, pay a little bit more attention. But, man, to sit down and watch a nine-inning game, that's tough.
So what you're saying is you don't get involved until after the Stanley Cup is done.
Yeah. Funny story how you said it and how I didn't say it. Right. But yeah.
Until the Cup is done, we don't watch any of that shit. I'm telling That's you. Right. And some of us don't watch any of that shit.
Brother, come on now.
So speaking of baseball, it's time to.
Hold on. I got a couple of things I want to add, if you don't mind.
Back me up, Tom. Back me up.
Well, just a couple stories from the first few games of the season. Mookie Betts is absolutely on fire. He's batting .571. He's already got three home runs. Why can't the Red Sox get players like that? My second thing is future Hall of Famer, wink, wink, quote, quote, Tyler O'Neill for the Red Sox set a major league record hitting his fifth home run. He's homered now in five straight opening games. So he broke the major league record that was held by Gary Carter, Yogi Berra, and Todd Hundley. And the Sad Sack A's, they only had 13,522 fans for their opener. And that was after tickets were going as low as $6, and they still could only draw 6,000. It was so quiet in the game, in the crowd, that they started playing EDM music to try to drown out and make a little noise. It's just pretty pathetic.
And they are moving
still
to Vegas.
Open? They never sold. Right.
No, they're still not definitively going. They still haven't 100%. I mean, they're building the stadium's actually being built in Vegas, but there's a big holdup somewhere.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you, from going last year to see the Knights, if they end up moving there, they will have really good crowds, because a lot of these casinos comp tickets to these games. And at least they'll have tourists that come in and out, and maybe somebody's never ever been to a baseball game. That's a great opportunity for somebody to go and you know, it just opens more doors like that. I think Vegas is a great place for sports places too. Now with sports betting, it's all wide open, and you see what it did for the Knights. They you know, they've been nothing but, you know, pretty much the bee's knees, as the kids say, for the league since they went there. So it's a good move if they move them. So baseball talk. Tinfoil hat. We're going to tie that in. It's time for Bradford's tinfoil hat segment. Take it.
Great segue about betting in Las Vegas, by the way, because I want to talk about betting baseball and Shohei Ohtani. Let's look at the facts, people. Let's look at the facts. Hired a childhood friend to be his interpreter. All right. Large bets and to the tune of $500,000 to $1 million secretly withdrawn from his account, where he did not look. If somebody withdraws 50 cents from my account, I notice. You're telling me Ohtani didn't notice $500,000, $1 million withdrawals from his bank account?
It's because it wasn't in yen.
Yeah. Bets placed in his hometown, right? Super suspicious. Told everybody, you know, his baseball's golden boy, acted like he didn't know English. Turns out he can't speak English. Claims he didn't watch any other sports. And now stuff is popping up of him being at the Final Four from 2021, looking nervous, like he just put a bet on a parlay. It was about to bust. An interview of him, I think, at the Vegas Golden Knights, watching hockey. All this weird stuff coming up. And so the internet sleuths went in and found two games where these large money bets were placed, where Ohtani was pitching. He gave up 5 or 6 runs in each game and then went 0-for-3 hitting. Very uncharacteristic for one of the best players in baseball. And turns out, by giving up 5 or 6 runs and going 0-for, he wound up covering the spread and hit on those parlays. Imagine that. So there, people are putting all these pieces together. So the conspiracy for me is, I think Ohtani is 100% guilty, but he's the baby face of baseball. So they're going to cover this shit up, because if they have to give in and be like, hey, Ohtani, you're guilty as shit, but we're going to let you play baseball, then they got to let my boy Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. And that's never going to fucking happen. So they're just going to sweep this shit under the rug. They're going to cover it up, and they're going to bury it like they always do. And Pete Rose will never make it to the Hall of Fame. This ain't even about Ohtani at this point. This is about baseball taking an L and then having to let Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame.
Thomas, you care to add to that?
I'm wearing the tinfoil hat, but I actually agree with Brad this time. MLB, that's their international cash cow. They're going to try any way possible to keep his name out of it. And I don't expect this investigation to go along, because they've already made up their mind.
Ed?
Well, first and foremost, it talks about the integrity of the game now, doesn't it? I mean, it shows that the games can be fixed. And the thing about it is, it's like, look at all these guys getting busted for gambling lately. And so the thing about it is just that, look, these guys have always been putting money on a game anyway. I mean, if you ever listen to, like, Michael Jordan stories about playing golf, dude, these guys have big money, and it's a rush for them. So, you know, it's sad to see the integrity of the game going down, especially in baseball. I agree with Brad. Brad, Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame regardless anyway. And the thing is like, because they could never guarantee that he bet on the Reds or any teams that he was playing against or coaching against. So the thing about it is just because Pete Rose wouldn't give in, and he wouldn't give what Bob Giamatti what he wanted. So that's wrong. So the thing about it is that there's all these facts coming out, but don't you feel kind of funny how this has kind of gone to the back burner since we are in tinfoil hat kind of mode? All of a sudden this warrant gets served to P. Diddy now by the feds, which is a good thing. And then, oh yeah, that's right. Monday morning, let's see, the Ukrainian captain that smashed the boat into a bridge. Huh, and how this Ohtani thing is kind of taking a back seat to that. I mean, that's true tinfoil hat stuff now, isn't it, guys?
Woo
Oh,
wee! We
yeah,
should.
the story's been buried. No major networks carrying the Ohtani story. The only tidbits I see anymore is on these like far out, Instagram sports pages now. Like they're still running it, but it's been buried. It's over
Woo!
with. Yeah.
So, speaking of that, before we move away from this little tidbit of the P. Diddy thing, is kind of crazy how he's still on the run, Bradford. He's still on the run. And what kills me about when people overlook certain things that are right in front of you is you look back at all this stuff and you don't say to yourself, how did I catch that? No, it was right there. It's just everybody that said, look at that, was going, what are you, stupid? He's famous. He can't be doing that stuff. So, but speaking of speaking of conspiracy theories, go ahead, Tom.
I just one more thing with the gambling thing. There's a investigation now in the NBA. There's a player, his last name is Porter. His brother is Bo Porter for the Denver Nuggets. This guy Porter plays for the Toronto Raptors. He's being investigated for gambling and putting prop bets on himself. And so he's more than likely going to get suspended. So it's still in the investigative stages, but it doesn't look good for him.
Speaking of not looking good, let's talk about this week's fandom video. You guys see that this week? Oh, I am gonna, before we get into that, real quick, I'm gonna throw it in right around here. So, thoughts on the fandom video. Thomas, you chimed in right away.
I'm not impressed. I mean, Phantom is my boy, but I gotta say, I expect more from him. I wasn't impressed with it. This was like shoddy, like almost like, I don't know, 12th grade type thing. I don't want to say the the son number two of the Phantom may have had something to do with it, but he's got to step his game up a little bit.
I thought when I first saw it, I said, wow, there's a lot of Easter eggs in here. And he said, did you see the Easter eggs? And I said, yes, I did. So if you pay attention, there's stuff to look for in there. Bradford, did you see it?
This is the Wizard of Oz one, right?
Yep, playing the role of Judy Garland is the man himself.
He's killing me with these things. I didn't see the Easter eggs, though. I guess I gotta go back and
Yeah,
like really get into it.
there's stuff to look for. And you like conspiracy, so there's some in there. And Ed, what do you think?
Well, I mean, man, I get called that I don't have a heart, man. Come on, man. Now I kind of look like I am the Tin Man lately. I'm not so flexible anymore, but
I think the Phantom put that in. You
brain,
was
I
the
mean,
Tin Man because you were always banged up when we played.
there is that. Yeah, that is it.
Was it Dennis Toto?
Yep. It's great. So yeah, well, I tell them keep them coming. I like to use them for the little thumbnail for the episode. So keep them coming. I'm laughing my ass off thinking about it already. So Tom's laughing. He don't want to laugh. He's trying to keep a straight face, but I know he's laughing on the inside. Tom, time to pay some bills. Time to talk about our buddy Roger at Purchase Street Records, who's playing with Ace Frehley this weekend. Saw some videos of it. Pretty cool. I told him, send us a video of you with Ace. He said, that ain't gonna happen. So,
That's awesome, though.
oh yeah. Oh yeah. Good stuff. Go ahead, Tom.
Alrighty, this week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass. You can also visit them online at purchasestrecords.com or on their Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store.
Boom. So we're gonna, I guess, wrap up the episode. We We made good time. We talked about a lot of different things, hit a couple of different subjects this week that we don't usually talk about. I like the movie talk. I don't know if people enjoy that too. I think
Oh, yeah.
the eclectic group of movie guys that we have here could be good. Tom, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, next week, can we talk about romantic comedies?
Oh, fuck off.
Anyways, how about just romance movies, period? Boom. What's your favorite, Tom? One, Notebook. Two, three, The Notebook.
Oh.
What'd you say?
Notebook.
Oh, this conversation. Oh,
did we just become best friends?
This conversation is making my nuts hurt.
Bro.
Anyways, Ed, we're going to do shout outs. You're going to save us on this one. What do you got?
First and foremost, I'm going to give them, both of them, they're going to get more. You make me sick when you speak on that. Oh, man. Rom-coms? Come on, fellas. I mean, you might as well just like do Jewel of the Nile or something. Jesus.
We say what you're thinking.
Yeah.
No. You don't know what I'm thinking. I don't have to think, remember?
What Ed is thinking is you guys start with a G and end with a Y.
I just want to say, hey, thank you very much. You know, some changes are coming on, and you know, like to thank my people at Run and Try and Gulfport, Mississippi. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for everything. Appreciate everything. So big time stuff coming down the pipeline, so should be good. And Bradford, thank you for the bottle of bourbon, sir. Greatly appreciated, sir. I'll be sampling some of that after. I'm so exhausted right now. If I had one, I would be falling asleep into the bone.
Tom, what do you got?
Well, just want to give a shout out to everyone here on the podcast. I mean, look, from day one to where right now, a lot of the changes and bigger and better things are coming.
Brad, what do you got? We'll shout out to the little man.
You know what? Look, Lucas played, you know, 8 hours of baseball today in the sun, clear blue skies. He got a little sunburnt, but my man's played his heart out. Like, and that's all you can ask for as a parent. He absolutely balled out at first base today. I think he had one ball get by him. He got on base every at bat except for once through four games. No strikeouts.
Nice.
Pretty incredible. Dude balled out, but we can't get over that hump to win first place in these damn championships, man. These boys, they get gassed out, man. 8 hours of baseball. And by the time we get to the finals, to the championship, whatever you call it, you know, they still get a little ring. They get a celebratory ring. Everybody gets a ring. They have first, second place. They just can't get over the hump, man. But Mississippi Rays, 8U, balled out today. And also, thanks, Chris, that he can't be here. This mic is pretty legit. I'm going to go ahead and get the whole thing set up over the next couple of days. That way I won't have to sit here and hold it. But it's colored this way for International Trans Visibility Day. Also, shout out to Joe Byron.
So I'll bring this podcast home. I want to thank every guy and every gal that's made an appearance on this podcast for the first year or so. And things are getting really big. We're doing big things. Channel's doing real well. Starting to take off a little bit. Starting to get good responses. We got the membership set up. We got two forms of 1973 podcast swag. We got the shirts. We got other things coming. People have been asking about hats. I mentioned that before. We got the hats. Log on. Check it out. Watch some episodes, comment, say some fun stuff. We see everybody. If you join the membership program, we'll get you on a show. We'll get you playing video games with Chris. We'll get you chirping with us. We'll get you super involved. Support the channel. Help us get going. You know, we probably got about 15 years till retirement, and this is going to be our retirement goal. We'll be able to do this. And hopefully by then we'll be multi-billionaires and all kinds of fun stuff like that. So I want to thank everybody for watching. From these guys, from our family to your family, we want to say happy Easter. And thanks to everybody. And we will see you next week.
Episode 60.
Next 60. Later, fellas.
Later.